Hello, welcome to Brooklyn the Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin, and join me this week, I've got Shotmaster Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And Oliver Battlecat Newman.
I'm okay with the Battlecat one.
He's terrible.
I do see a lot of Shockmaster in Nick. How you doing?
I'm very good.
And yourself, Nick?
Oh, very well, thank you for asking.
Bit tired.
But I'm alright.
Been a bit of a hectic day, I have to say. Just walking to, obviously, the snow, not being able to drive, always a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I get the feeling this weather's like tormenting me ahead of the book signing on Saturday. There's the first vlog. Basically, here it's snowing one moment, and then it's sunny the next, and then going into the afternoon, it was both snowing and sunny.
I know, how's that?
So I think it's just going to torment me until Saturday.
Yeah. I spent the day in Birmingham today. Meant to do a meet, it was meant to last till 4:30, 6:30 till 2:30. Our train was until 5:00, so we spent most of the afternoon in the pub. So.
I can't believe you're doing this podcast drunk, Chris.
I'm not drunk. I was drunk 5.5 hours ago. I'm just tired now. So.
Yeah.
2-hour train journey. Making your way home from Liverpool. So.
Good.
Yeah. Right, so thanks for everyone to listening to our interviews with Drill and Jeff Capo. They're both doing really well. And Oliver, you've got some exciting news about an upcoming interview? A trilogy of?
Yeah. Go on, sorry, Chris.
It's a trilogy of interviews.
Yeah, the absolute pleasure and honour to interview 18-year veteran of the British wrestling scene, Dean Allmark. And the interview went an hour and 45 minutes. So that's why we've had to cut it up into three parts.
The trilogy.
It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun, and we were talking about Dean's YouTube channel, which I've just plugged again. But basically, the amount of times I've plugged it both on Positive Pro Wrestling and on tonight's show is nowhere near as many times as we've plugged it on the interview. So. But it's a wicked YouTube channel. That's why it deserves to be plugged, in all honesty. If you want full matches and stuff, it's crazy. And just talking wrestling, really. The fact that he would give up that much time to just answer question after question, the interviewer and me. And, you know, talk at length, much like your interviews, Chris. It's a breath of fresh air. Yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed the experience. And Dean said he's free to do any more interviews or possibly be on the show in some form or another in the future as well.
Yeah,
so, it went really well. And I hope that the fans and the listeners enjoy the interview as it's released over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, so the third part one's going to be released on Friday. That's the 2nd for anyone who's listened to it afterwards. 2nd of March. And then the following Tuesday, and then the following Friday. So over the next week, they have the trilogy. So.
Right,
then, as you've already mentioned, you've got a book signing this week. First one.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was watching Five Star Wrestling to tell you the story. And I just saw an advert on Facebook for this wrestling shop in Birmingham called Pro Wrestling Cartel. Got in contact with them and said, you know, would there be any interest in taking my books and selling them in store? They turned around to me and said, yes, there would be. Would you be interested in doing a book signing? So, we started, in that frame of mind, and it's kind of built from there. And as a proud Brummy, I'm really, really proud and honoured and privileged to do my first ever book signing in Birmingham. It's amazing, and I hope, weather permitting, it's a good day on Saturday for everyone.
And Nick, you're going to WrestleMania.
I think we've mentioned it enough.
Right, so today's going to be a fun show. First, we're going to announce who we think should be in a UK-based NXT-style show, and then we're going to review the Elimination Chamber and then preview Fastlane. So, excited, lads?
Yep, can't wait, Chris.
Excited,
but
yeah, cool. You sound in it.
Sup, guys? It is the leader of the Billy Club, Billy Norton, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so we should start with our UK-based NXT show. So we have come up with some rules. So for this discussion, we're going to say that Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, Mark Andrews and Wolfgang are already on the show because they're regularly on WWE TV. We're going to exclude Will Ospreay, Jack Sabre Jr. and Marty Scurll because we don't think they're realistic targets and they're under contract with New Japan. I haven't discussed this with you, but should we also dismiss Nick Holness as he's the NWA world champion at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's a fair shout. You've got to do it to be realistic, haven't you?
And then one was going to be on my list, but I thought Davey Boy Smith Jr., he's under contract to your pad as well. So.
Yeah, he is. I'd imagine.
Yeah, so we're going to have 5 picks each, and we'll be using, to fill our roster, we're going to use people who regularly work on the British scene. They don't have to be British. So as long as they're regular, so maybe Mike Bailey or Travis Banks or Tony Storm, they can all go in because they regularly work on the British scene. And we have to pick at least one tag team and at least one woman wrestler. So, who wants to go first?
Go on, Nick.
would we name a single wrestler, tag team, or...
Any whoever you want to put forward first.
Okay, I'll go for the tag team first. I'll go for CCK.
They're on my list.
Damn you, Nick.
I did have backups, but they were top of my listing. Obviously, I didn't go first.
You going to go all 3 members, or are you just going to do a combination?
No, just Lycos and Brooks. They're first on my, as my tag team. Do you want me just to go through my whole predictions?
No, we'll go one at a time. So.
Let me guess, am I next?
Yep, you can go next.
Okay, I don't watch as much British wrestling as I'd like to. I'm more of a WWE Network kind of guy now. But just based on who I've seen at the local shows and stuff and who I know about and what have you. I'm going to say the Hunters.
Hunter Brothers.
They've been around since I started writing about British wrestling. And they're one of the best tag teams in Europe. So they're my tag team.
My tag team is the UK Hooligans.
Wouldn't they be under a 5-star contract, though?
Well, it's 5-star contract. It's only on for another couple of weeks. It's on proper promotions. Yeah. UK Hooligans, yeah. That's it. We're 5 weeks, only 7 weeks left of it. So.
Fair enough, but if I find out they're under a 5-star contract, Chris, you have to pick another team.
Right, Nick, your next one.
I'll go for my woman's wrestler. I'll go for Laura Dean Taylor.
Oh yeah, cool.
She's just very. I've always been a real. I don't know how to be honest, but I always just really liked their wrestler. Really liked her. I always really like her. Like she's changed her look. Looks now to go for like a UFC type fighter. So
yeah,
she's next on my list.
Yeah, sound.
I don't know if she's fighting much in Britain anymore, but she has done. Tony Storm.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I was really impressed with her in the Mae Young Classic.
She's still progress women's champion, I think.
Say that again, sorry, Chris.
She's still progress women's champion.
Oh okay then. Yeah, then I'd have a Tony Storm on my UK show.
Mm. I've gone for Millie McKenzie, 21st century arse kicker, whatever her name is. So, I think she's amazing.
Tom Baker of Talking Wrestling, be happy about that one.
Oh, she's amazing. She's 17 years old and she wrestles both men and women and throws people around and them suplexes. It's absolutely amazing.
I haven't had a chance to watch her, to be honest. I think she's coming to a local show. I might have to go and check it out.
Most of my stuff is from Defiant Wrestling on Friday nights on YouTube. She just won their championship.
Oh, okay. Congratulations to her.
Right, Nick?
I'll go for as a, yeah, so did we agree, sorry, did we agree to like, not better, yeah, did we agree to ban Ospreay, Skull?
Yeah. And Sabre.
Yeah, I didn't want to put it on my list, I just wanted to jump in. yeah, no, as my, as a main wrestler there, I will go for, so I've got a few names written down here. I'm just trying to think who I want to say first. I'll go for Matt Riddle.
Oh, yeah.
King of Bros.
I was going to say, I know he's probably, obviously, until he can sort out his sort of drugs
because I know he does, still likes to do, smokes a fair bit of weed and what have you. He's obviously going to get a WWE contract, but especially as he's so, obviously comes out and says he does it as well, it's not like he even keeps it discreet. which obviously why, no, it's why we obviously UFC career went down the pan.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, him and Brock Lesnar still want 100 matches. I know he's
saying pretty awesome.
He wants to be the man who retires, Brock Lesnar, but yeah, Matt Riddle's my top dog.
And for myself, Travis Banks.
Oh, yeah, I knew it was going to be your pick.
Yeah, I met him briefly during the intermission at a Fight Club Pro Shikara show, and the evolution of the man from that show to now is absolutely outstanding. You know, obviously one of the best on the scene, brilliant character, phenomenal wrestler. Yeah, if you want to make sure the WWE UK scene and the TV show and the travelling show and all that kind of stuff, yeah, Travis Banks is the man. You could kind of build the promotion around him, in all honesty, if for whatever reason Pete Dunne went to the main brand and what have you. So yeah, definitely Travis Banks.
My pick is Joe Hendry. I think he's one of the most underrated wrestlers in Britain.
Good choice.
Well, American fans, I'm not sure many American listeners might know him, but just been selected for the Scotland Commonwealth Games actual wrestling squad. He's probably why he hasn't wrestled much on five-star wrestling, because he doesn't want to get hit for that. So, probably has the best entrances in the game. So. If you haven't seen it, look up his legendary Pokemon entrance. It's brilliant. But, yeah, one of my favourite wrestlers.
Just check him out on YouTube if you haven't seen it, to our American listeners. Sorry about the interruption, Chris.
Okay. Nick?
Yeah, I'll go for my next pick. I'll go for Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, he's just I think it'll be great to see him in WWE. I know he's probably a bit too brutal for it, but no, I think yeah, he could have the feuds, he could have with a lot of the guys there at Endless. No, I think he's obviously done so well on the British scene for the last sort of 4 years, or even probably longer than that. So I think Jimmy Havoc for sure.
Didn't Jimmy Havoc wrestle on WrestleMania Access last year?
That's no idea.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so he's on their radar.
Who'd like to think?
Yeah. Right, should we pick the tag team? So is it five wrestlers included in the tag team, Chris?
You've got five picks, so you can have as many tag teams or women as you want.
Oh, okay. I thought it was five wrestlers. Okay, so woman, Travis Banks, two, tag team, three. I'm going to go with the current pro wrestling subjective champion, Jesse Jones. I saw him at a local show about a year back, and once again, the evolution, the man, he's just had an absolutely out of this world match against the Judge, no DQ, Dudley Street fight. I think if he's given the opportunity, he's got the talent to do so, and he's young as well. So, you know, someone to put on the roster that can have good matches and then build themselves up over time, really. I think he's got a huge upside and a lot of potential.
Yeah, I have not seen him live. The Outlaw, is his name.
Yeah, the Outlaw, Jesse Jones, yeah.
He looks quite fierce on the pictures I've seen of him. Not seeing one of his matches, unfortunately. But I'm going to go back to the women's for this, for my pick. I'm going to go Sessions Martina. She's my favourite. Again, if American listeners are not seeing it, you'll love Lick It. Exactly the same as Suck It. But you know.
this show is not going to be PG anymore, is it, really?
Yeah, it has to be British style.
Yeah.
We're going to have true. Unisex matches, we're going to have proper.
Intergender matches.
What did I say? Intersex?
Practically the same thing. All good.
So, Nick, I think the last pick? Yeah, your last pick?
I'll go for. I want to get him in some way. I was going to use him as one of my backup tag teams, but I'll put him as a single wrestler, Zach Gibson.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Liverpool's number one.
Oh, he's just golden on the mic, isn't he? Yeah. Get the heel reception, you can can get at shows is quite remarkable. And he's a very good wrestler as well. So yeah, he gets my pick.
He's been tearing it up on Five Star Nick, in all honesty. And I saw a video when
I don't want to associate myself with that.
Oh well, you're missing out on some great wrestling, in all honesty.
It's really confusing, my son, because we watch Five Star and we watch Defiant on Five Star, the tag team partners on Defiant, the feud, and
it's very
confusing
me as well, and I'm a grown man.
What I was going to say is that progress against Mustache Mountain. Didn't the fans started chanting, "Stand up if you hate Gibson, sit down if you hate Gibson," and stuff. I saw the video and I thought it was pretty cool.
That's your last pick, so you could have it.
I'm going to go your route, to be honest, Chris. I'll pick another female. So there's two males, tag team, and two females. Kaylee Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand why she's not under contract, in all honesty.
She was meant to be in the Mae Young Classic, but she wasn't.
Yeah, she was part of the Mae Young Classic again, yeah.
I'm thinking of Nixon Newell. She got injured in the build-up, didn't she? So.
Yeah, but she signed to NXT, didn't she?
Mm.
Yeah, so basically WWE and WWE UK would have a Lita on the hands, wouldn't they?
Yeah, she's brilliant.
You know, her style is very Lita-esque, and I don't mean it in a disrespectful way. It's obviously her own style, but I see a lot of Lita in her. So she should be signed to a WWE contract, really. And yeah, it would, you know, imagine her and Toni Storm on my version of WWE UK. That'd be one hell of a feud, wouldn't it?
So my last pick is Mark Haskins. I think he's one of the most underrated wrestlers, and he's amazing on both Five Star and on Defiance and Progress and everything.
Yeah, well, he had your match of the week last week, didn't he, Chris?
Matt Riddle. It was a brilliant match on Five Star Wrestling.
Yeah.
I recommend you look at that, Nick.
I've
heard that was a pretty good match, to be fair.
Yeah, you need to check that one out, Nick.
Yeah. Alright, so I think we've made a pretty good roster. So our men would be Matt Riddle, Travis Banks, Joe Hendry, Jimmy Havoc, Jesse Jones, Zach Gibson, and Mark Haskins. We've got the women division would be Di Matteo, Storm, Mackenzie, Session Moth Martina, and Kaylee Ray. Yeah. And then our tag team division, we'll include Mustache Mountain in it. And then we've got CCK, the Hunter Brothers, and the UK Hooligans, plus Pete Dunne, Mark Andrews, and Wolfgang. So I think we've done a pretty good show there.
Yeah, let's get in contact with Vince and Triple H to see if we can take over the WWE UK company. You up for that, Nick?
Yeah. I can be the Triple H.
This is David Fuller, the owner of IXWE Texas Professional Wrestling, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
Alright, so we'll go on to our review of Elimination Chamber. So, unfortunately, I didn't, or Nick, didn't see the pre-show. But did you enjoy the match, Oliver?
Anderson Gallows against... I'm trying to remember the pre-show. No, it wasn't the revival.
The Mistrage.
It's Mistrage, wasn't it? I think I remember enjoying this match. It's just escaped my thoughts, to be honest. You know, good tag team work by both teams. The Miz Taraj kind of cheating behind the ref's back and stuff. And, you know, Anderson and Gallows picking up the win. The Revival were kind of interviewed backstage, but they cut them off. So yeah. I'm hoping that's going to be a part of their We Are Pro Wrestlers storyline. And they're annoyed that they were cut off kind of thing.
Mm.
So, yeah, just inoffensive tag match, really. Just on the kickoff show because of wanting to have a match in the kickoff show, but it wasn't bad by any means, and it wasn't anything more than what a kickoff show match really is. So always, you know, big fan of Anderson and Gallows, and think that Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel have a huge upside, but it's about being booked correctly.
I've liked the Miz Taraj. as the Miz's lackeys, but I don't know, I can't really see them as a tag team for some reason.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but you know, in this situation, it's best to direct like Raw and SmackDown questions to Nick, isn't it? Because obviously, no, I'm only able to see the pay per views NXT and 205 Live. So,
next, we move on to the Women's Championship Elimination Chamber. So it's Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks versus Bayley versus Mickie James versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. That was start, Nick.
It was a very good match, as expected. I thought every woman put a good account of themselves in the match. I thought my highlight was I thought Alexa Bliss was the star performer both during the match and in an interview after. I thought it was quality.
Oh, a promo afterwards. I was like,
getting people to cry, and then to obviously do the heelish comment. I thought it was handled brilliantly, and I think again proves just what a star she is.
She had me thinking she was changing face.
It did. Well, yeah, that's what it got me. Like, they were going to do it there and then, because the crowd reaction. I wasn't sure if it was even that. She almost got me believing that she was going a bit off script.
Yeah.
When she was sort of like, saying thank you sort of thing, because it was almost looking like she was generally surprised at the reaction. But no, all happened very, very well. I thought the Bayley, sort of the Sasha to Bayley, obviously Hilton, I thought that could have been made a bit more of a bigger moment, if that makes sense.
Mm.
I think it wasn't really like, it was all a bit all over the place, I thought. I mean, at the time when Sasha kicked Bayley off the thing, obviously, I think one of the commentators was making out like, well, Sasha's just turned on Bayley, oh my God. Whereas it sort of just, it didn't really feel like the big moment. I think it would have been more of a shock, like, if you quickly put her in, like, the bank statement or something and made a tap out. I thought that would be a bit more of a big, wild, heelish, Sasha's just turned heel, but almost just seemed a bit of a mixed sort of thing, if that makes sense. Like, it was just kicked her off the thing. It was almost like it was just part of the match. Nothing really would happen, but I think, obviously, the idea was to build for them two to have a match at WrestleMania, I guess. I thought that wasn't maybe, unless there's more to it, obviously I haven't watched Raw yet, unless there's more to it on Raw where it might take it to the next step, maybe they might make Bayley go heel, maybe that might be, I don't know, but so there's that.
Do you think of Mandy Rose is now the first woman eliminated from the Rumble, and then the first woman eliminated from the Elimination Chamber?
She was eliminated first. I mean, to be fair, she's done well to be in both matches, to be fair, so I don't think she'll be too disheartened about it. I mean,
I think this was the first time they looked like a team. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. It was the first time that I actually saw them as a team. They were wearing matching outfits, they came out to the music together.
Yeah, but I think so they've both done extremely well. I think they'll both go on to bigger things this year. I think hopefully that Absolution can be quite a good, they have a really good 2018, both of them.
Oliver?
Yeah, I think this is where my kind of thoughts have come back to me and stuff. This is probably going to sound controversial, but because the title was on the line, they should have main evented the pay-per-view by putting it lower down the card than a match where it was about the number one contendership. The women's title could be seen as secondary. And if this, because it was the first match compared to the Women's Rumble being the main event of the Rumble, well, there was more risk involved in this match, if you know what I mean. So, you know, there's a lot more risk of injuries and all that kind of stuff. And then if you look at the actual content of the match, it was really good. So it could have main evented from that perspective as well.
I wouldn't have had it main evented. I would have had it in place of it. I would have had it in the middle of the show, like they did the Rumbles, where they have a Rumble in the middle of the show.
Like I said, it's all relative, isn't it? It's subjective, but that's just my opinion. I think you can't. It's for the title. You've got to make it as big as it is. Ronda Rousey's just signed for the company. You're on a bit of a roll when it comes to putting women in the main event and stuff. Could have done it on this occasion as well. Didn't happen. So, you know, it is what it is. I enjoyed the Bayley Sasha stuff. Once it was past Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, the match got, you know, really good. I don't mean that to be offensive to either lady, but Mickie James and Alexa Bliss and Sasha and Bayley, you know, have more experience, don't they? So it just got really good. Sasha seemingly turning on Bayley, really hoping that leads to a match between the two at WrestleMania, and I'm guessing that's the way they're going to go. Mickie James is Alexa's kind of partner on off kind of thing.
I didn't really get the build up to the match if they weren't going to interact in the match.
Yeah, but like I said, not watching the TV shows is probably not helping me personally. And then, like Nick's just said, and yourself, Chris, the promo by Alexa Bliss after the match was superb because she suckered us all in.
Yeah.
And then obviously turned just fantastic. Fantastic character work. Brilliant stuff.
Were you happy with Bliss winning? Because there was a lot of talk of Sasha Banks winning going into this pay-per-view.
I think Bliss wins and then goes on to face Asuka, doesn't she? You know what I mean?
Does she?
You know, Sasha and Bayley. That's the next one for them to, in all honesty.
There's still rumours that Oscar's going to pick Charlotte, and it'll be Nia Jax versus Bliss at WrestleMania. Which I'm not sure how they're going to fix it.
Well, it'll all be, you know, when it's all said and done, we'll see what happens, won't we?
Yeah, because, Oscar hasn't actually announced who she's going to be facing at WrestleMania yet. Yeah.
Maybe at Fastlane, she'll just show up after Charlotte beats Ruby Riott.
Okay, yeah. Right, so the next match was the Raw Tag Team Championships, The Bar versus Tyson Worldwide. I don't have many notes on this. I thought it was an alright match. It's a bit of a Raw, basic Raw match. But again, The Bar have to do the dead match after a good. They have to do the match after the Royal Rumble, and then they've got the match after the Elimination Chamber. So,
I think the fact that we've seen this match quite a lot since the turn of the year, I think, was never really going to work. Well, never going to be a classic, in all fairness to it. It's not, I'm slating it, but I think it was probably the correct match they had to put on the card. I think with Titus World getting quite a few wins over Sheamus and Cesaro, they had to have an opportunity for the belts. I think they're probably building up, they're probably saving maybe those ants and the revival for the Bar for Mania.
I think the Bar are probably going to be split up in the draft. I think that's.
Well, yeah, I thought that, but then isn't there rumours that Sheamus is a bit injured?
Sheamus has done his neck, and he's got this.
He can't do too much singles matches.
Yeah, but he said before he retires, he wants to win the IC belt because that's the only one he hasn't won yet.
Oh, I see. That's basically
why they put him in a tag team. That's why the Bar exists, because of his neck.
Yeah. I think they'll defend it against maybe either Revival or Gallows and Anso, or maybe both at WrestleMania.
In my head, I had the Tyson Worldwide winning it, and then maybe this week or next week on Raw, I would have had the Revival beat them straight away. Oliver, do you like this match?
For a match that I thought would the champs would retain the titles, I thought there was enough moments to see that the challengers might just take the belts. From that perspective, it was a pretty decent match. But like you guys have said, it seemed like a Raw match on a pay per view and a match to be on a pay per view because not too many matches have been announced, kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's Beach Ball Gate again. Is it just a gimmick they're doing just for Cesaro matches now after SummerSlam burst up all last year?
I know it happened on a Raw, but I can't remember if it happened on SummerSlam.
I'm sure it happened on pay-per-view because me and Nick talked about it, so it must have been before you got on the show. So.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering whether it might be just a Cesaro thing now, because they want Cesaro to come over and burst the ball.
I remember roughly, but I can't remember, to be honest.
If you're bringing a beach ball to a wrestling event, you're a bit of an idiot, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I don't have any plans of doing that. WrestleMania reference too.
Next match was Oscar versus Nia Jax. This only went 8 minutes. I thought we could have got a good 15-20 minute classic out of this, because they have some. Then I missed the first bit, so did Nia basically dominate the whole match, and then she got a quick roll up. I missed the first couple of minutes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, if we're going to be honest. I think, yeah, 8 minutes probably wasn't enough. I think whether our expectations are a bit more high, which is a good thing, because for obviously the women's match, obviously, it's good that, obviously, well, any match, not just women matches, any matches that have good high expectations, obviously, it means that both superstars have been doing well, and there's obviously a lot of expectation there.
Mm.
But, yeah, I don't think, I wasn't quite impressed with it. I thought the aftermath was pretty good, Nia Jax there. But yeah, no, I do think that both are going to still have big matches. So I do think that I still got a feeling Oscar is going to face Charlotte. And I think we're going to see Bliss versus Jax.
That could be a cool match. Oliver, do you enjoy this match? Or?
Yeah, I think this is one I did enjoy. Surprised it only went 8 minutes. I thought there was enough opportunities once again for Asuka to lose the undefeated streak. Like Nick said, the aftermath was amazing. I thought it was brutal and vicious, like, you know, going after each other and stuff. And the one thing I want to say at this point, and I've said it in the past and stuff, I'm not a fan of this undefeated streak. The fact that it's lasted, what, 2.5 years, 837 days, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
207
matches, wasn't it?
Yeah, it shouldn't be this way, in all honesty. She's not the greatest wrestler that's ever lived, kind of thing. She is fantastic, don't get me wrong, but, you know, when that first loss comes, I just don't know, in all honesty. You know, we saw what it did to Goldberg. You know, in WCW, I know WCW was mismanaged, but...
Yeah, but then the Booker put himself over at home. Some Kevin Nash, the Booker at the time, and then he said, oh, lie, what, I'm going to beat him.
Yeah, exactly. So the mismanagement was pretty awful there. You know, and I just not a fan. It was fine for a while, but... Mm. When I'm starting going into matches and I'm rooting for the opponent to beat her, then the undefeated streaks lasted too long, in my opinion.
I'd have it so if at WrestleMania she passes out to the figure eight, or I'd have it so she's undefeated and have Ronda Rousey undefeated and have them meet at Survivor Series.
Good shout there.
Right, so next match was Woken Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt. The only good bit of this was the beginning to me. The match was... Mm. Well, did Matt Hardy sing Jeff Hardy's NXT theme, the obsolete song?
Yeah. I actually really, really enjoyed this match.
Mm.
Oh, where?
Eh?
I said, oh, where?
Oh, I really did. No, I thought it was... I really did enjoy it, better than I thought it was going to be. Whether we talk about high expectations, whether my expectations were slightly lower for this match. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. I wasn't a fan of the ending, because I mean, we must say this a lot on the show, but God knows what Bray Wyatt's pay-per-view record is now. I mean, it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
I did tweet out a couple of weeks ago, but I can't remember it.
Yeah. It's just actually getting me annoyed even thinking about it, to be honest. So, I just don't know how people are supposed to take this bloke seriously. He's supposed to be one of the scariest guys on the roster, and then when he keeps losing.
He needs a family again. He needs to get away from the supernatural stuff and go back to being the cult leader.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with him, but I think him, Harper and Rome sort of do belong together, but I don't know what's going to happen going forward. And I can't say, I think he's even getting to the point where I can't say I'm all that fussed of what happens in the future. I used to love Bray Wyatt's feud, so I wonder who he's going to feud with next, but I think it's got to such a point where I think even everyone's giving up on him, sort of thing, which is such a shame, because he's probably one of the best talents that I've got as well. When I say talents, I mean someone who can do so much good on the mic and everything. Probably one of the biggest stars they've got in the WWE, but I don't know. So the actual match I quite enjoyed. It's the incorrect winner. I thought the bit at the start was good, but then I thought it was a bit of a bland. It was end to this, if that makes sense, when obviously where the hell is he? And he just, oh, he's on the steps.
He's on the steps, then does it?
Yeah. wasn't really that great. I thought I'd signed with more.
He should have turned around an inch weird, was there? That's what.
Oh, well, even like the lights keep dickering or something, and there's like loads of like weird stuff keeps happening. I probably like mind games, it was an wrestling match, incorrect winner, and I'm really not all that fast to see where it goes from here, really, for them two.
I'm only excited if they do some stuff from that Hardy compound. They have a pre-filmed match at WrestleMania. Do like Total Deletion or something. I don't want to see another in-ring match between them.
No, I don't think you will.
I want something crazy like the original Matt Hardy versus Jeff Hardy, the first one. I can't remember what it's called. But when there was when the birth of De Niro and TNA, but I can't remember which one it was called. Is it called Absolution? Or Total Deletion?
I think it was Total Deletion.
Yeah,
Chris.
Mm.
Yeah, might have been.
Yeah. Do you think this match?
I says to Nico when he liked it and stuff. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh. I guess the reaction was pretty cool, but I just the ridiculousness of the feud. In all honesty, when it comes to like a Total Deletion match and stuff, and it's outside the box, that'll be fun to watch. But this all laughing and talking in riddles and stuff is. I don't know, it's frustrating to watch.
The video package at the beginning where it was Rick Bray Wyatt selling Matt Hardy there, he was talking nonsense. That's all that video Wyatt does all the time.
Exactly, and Nick said, just a minute ago about the Wyatt family. Go back and watch the Wyatt family's original vignette promo, and it's so far removed to what they became. And, Bray Wyatt
So as soon as he feuded with the Undertaker and he started getting supernatural powers, that was when it ruined him. I mean, he was just a cult leader and he had backing, so he just sat in his chair and his minions would do all his dirty work.
Exactly. He's a fantastic character, and WWE didn't realise what they had with the Wyatt family, and they've messed up. And in terms of the match and the Total Deletion and what have you, Chris, be careful what you wish for, because we kind of had a fight on the Wyatt family compound between Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, and that kind of didn't go well. It's not been perceived as one of the best matches in history, as it's...
I liked the House of Horrors match. I just didn't see the point why it came back to the arena. They didn't just finish it in the house when he threw the fridge at him. That was the end. There's absolutely no point for it to come back to the arena.
Yeah. I think the in-ring action was good, but it's just the ridiculousness of the feud. I think that's what can take me out of it as a wrestling fan, as a writer as well.
All right. So then we had on the couple of podcasts I've listened to today. This is everybody's favourite segment was the Ronda Rousey bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you think it was a work that she sounded so nervous in her first when she was doing her promo to begin with?
No, I don't know. I thought that was
because she snapped.
I don't think she can act very well. Mm. If we're going to be honest, I think she didn't even say honestly that she wants to improve her acting, which is what a big reason why she enjoyed WWE. I didn't think she was very she wasn't very confident as well when she did the pointing. Royal Rumble.
That's the weirdest point ever. I think that she just got told to point and she goes, what do you mean?
I don't want to be critical because I'm so buzzed that she's in WWE and it was still my favourite part of the night. To be fair, she wouldn't improve. I'm not trying to be overcritical of her because obviously it's quite difficult. It's not going to be easy, obviously, acting in front of quite a lot of people and everything with the crowd, obviously going ballistic for yourself. But no, I think overall, I don't think it was scripted her being a bit nervous, but overall, I think she will improve on the acting side of things.
Albert?
She's a fan, isn't she? She's, somebody who's happy to be there with this amazing, judo background, Olympic competitor and medalist, and obviously UFC MMA fighter. So, she just seems lovely to me, as long as you don't get on the wrong side of her.
Because once Kurt Angle went back to being Snidey 1999 snitch, Kurt Angle, Well, once she snapped, when she went mean.
Yeah.
She looks proper scary, but when she's lovely and smiley, it's so weird.
Yeah, it's pretty scary when the person can switch from 0 to 60 like that. But
and she can back, yeah. And she can throw a Triple H round like that.
Exactly, but you know the different videos I've seen online and stuff. She just looks like, you know, seems like a really lovely person. So as long as you don't get on the bad side, it's all good. And you know, like you said, the contract signing and stuff. This is where my second idea comes into it.
Yeah.
I would have had SmackDown Live's general manager, Daniel Bryan, and Shane McMahon fighting for that contract signing. I would have had them come to the show and say, well, okay, you can sign for Raw, WWE, or you can sign for SmackDown, WWE, and this is the match we'll give you. Mm. I think they missed the boat by not having the you know, SmackDown Live general manager and the commissioner on there, because this is a contract signing and nothing was set in stone.
That was all built to put Triple H and Stephanie over, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But that's not what it's supposed to be about, is it? You know what I mean? Imagine Rosie being on SmackDown, and it's been said on numerous outlets on the internet and stuff about how you know, SmackDown is not doing so well lately. That might just be, you know, fake internet news. I don't know. We're not there.
It's not doing well because they've given all the good writers to Raw.
We were doing
a good SmackDown last year.
Imagine Rousey turning up on SmackDown, exclusively on SmackDown. There you go, there's your ratings right there. You don't need Rousey to be on Raw because you've got enough star power. But if Rousey turned up on SmackDown, where they are in need of probably another good, you know, good female wrestler, hopefully that's what she becomes, then, you know, marketability-wise and attraction-wise, SmackDown's the place to be. But unfortunately, you know, Raw, WWE always sees SmackDown as second fiddle.
I think that's why they're going to send Oscar to SmackDown and keep Rousey on Raw. So,
half stage if that happens, cross. Then that's perfect. Mm. Then, yeah, not a problem.
Also, a lot of complaints that Stephanie didn't get a comeuppance. She just kind of got the slap in and then weaseled off.
It's, you know, slow burn, isn't it? You know what I mean? Don't give everything at once.
Yeah, so what's the point in having a match at WrestleMania if she gets a comeuppance straight away?
Exactly. You know, if Vince and Triple H listen to this podcast, we really should be booking WWE between the three of us.
Mm. Right, so then it's the men's Elimination Chamber match. I love this match. People have been down on it all day, but my favourite bit of the whole match was the three at the beginning, with Miz was trying to get him and Rollins to go after Finn, and then he tried to too sweet Finn to go after Rollins, and they both teamed up on Miz.
That was wicked.
Yeah, look, I don't know if it was, but when Cena came in, it seemed like they might be trying to set up him and Seth up, possibly. I know they're playing on that Seth knocked him out of the gauntlet last Monday. But...
And he broke his nose a few years back, Chris. Mm.
Yeah, so, Nick, do you want to go first on this one?
Yeah, I thought, you know, rightly said, it was an excellent match. Quite like the start with the Seth, Miz and Balor, you know, that was quite cool, quite funny. A really good match. I like the fact there was a quick elimination, so everyone pretty much looked quite strong. I like the way everyone did the finishes on Braun. He was still kicking out on like one count. I think it makes him look really strong. And yeah, in the end, we did get the predictable winner. I think, in all fairness, it probably is the right decision.
It was the Braun Strowman show. Shouldn't it have been the Roman Reigns show? If we're going to have Reigns at WrestleMania against Brock, shouldn't Roman Reigns have eliminated everyone, even though we would have hated it? Do you remember one Roman Reigns moment from that whole match? Did you have a moment? Apart from pin and straw and then get battered at the end.
Whether that's saying something about Reigns though, like you can get battered, like, I think maybe that's the match they're making against Brock, you can get battered but still put them away.
Yep.
We obviously know what we're getting at WrestleMania, we're getting...
But I didn't like that Strowman kicked out of the spear. They've been building the spear up for a year that nobody kicks out of it. And then Strowman kicked out of it the first time.
But I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens between Reigns and Lesnar.
I thought that they'll build them both the spear and F5 that nobody could kick out of these two moves, and then at WrestleMania they both kick out each other's moves.
Out,
so
yeah.
But now Strowman's kicked out of it.
I did enjoy it, so it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what does happen at WrestleMania and where the other competitors go.
I'd love a fatal five way between Elias, Miz, Balor, Rollins, Strowman, the IC title. Let them rip each other apart for 20 minutes.
It's not a bad show. I don't see Strowman used in a better match, but I think obviously it's quite limited to
I can't see what else he'd be in.
I'd quite like to see him versus Samoa Joe, but I don't know whether Joe's going to be fit for WrestleMania.
I'm not sure if Joe's and Joe's back.
But all joking aside, a very good match and some good honor. I remember how quick Strowman could climb the chamber as well when he was chasing after the Miz.
Yeah, and how amazing was the frog splash from Seth Rollins. They kind of put Sasha Banks as one to shame early in the night. So, Oliver?
Yeah, this was Elimination Strowman, wasn't it, really? Yeah. In all honesty, I've coined that phrase. Brilliant performance from him. Loved what you guys have talked about in terms of Miz, Balor and Rollins at the start of the match. That was hilarious. And I was wondering how they were going to make seven men work in a six-person chamber, and that's how they're making it work.
I was winding my son up saying they were going to put a shark cage and put the last person in the shark cage. And then he'll get lowered down, the seventh person.
Isn't it open at the top now, though?
I can't remember. Yeah, it seems
I'm sure I saw something like that, like it was open at the top. Mm.
Yeah, I think it was.
So, that's a possibility. You said about building Reigns up and having him winning. The fans would have gone absolutely mad if that happened, Chris, honestly. They would have turned on this match so quickly if Reigns had got all those pins.
Not all of them, but did he have a moment in the whole match, apart from the end?
His moment's winning it, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but his moment for everything is winning. I can't think. Never seen such highlights in his whole career. It's just like,
it's just him winning over and over again.
Yeah, I
can understand that. This was Strowman's moment, wasn't it, really? It was fantastic. Yeah, everyone ganged up against him.
I did love the match, but it shouldn't have been Strowman's moment. It should have been something to put Reigns over. And at the end, we all should think, oh, he's done amazing. We might start liking him now. He's done something great. Whereas he just speared the person we all love.
It shouldn't have been Reigns' moment at all. It should have been Strowman going to WrestleMania, and it felt like it was stolen away from him. Mm. But you know, such is life. Strowman was fantastic. He should be the number one contender. He should be going to WrestleMania. He's not. Reigns kind of sneaked in the win, and main event Brock against Reigns. But to be fair to both men, this was the main event a few years ago, and they tore it up. So I'm content knowing that's going to be the main event, because...
Do you think it'll be the last match on? Or do you think Nakamura or AJ is going to be the last match?
I'm hoping it's Nakamura versus AJ, but I just don't know, in all honesty. And just making a quick point about the women's main event in the show and stuff. If it wasn't for Strowman putting Reigns through the pods and stuff like that, the fans would have turned on the main event because Reigns won. Whereas Alexa Bliss won, and then because of a promo, fans got behind her. Obviously, she turned it around, so they hated her again. But that would have been a better ending to the show than Reigns, winning the number one contendership. But then when Strowman put him through the pods and had that, had that performance in the chamber, then it was all good. It was well worthy of being the main event, and yeah, really enjoyable way to end the show.
Right, so what are your thoughts on the show as a whole then? Will you ever watch it again?
Can't say I will. That's more for a time than anything. But,
that's how I rate shows. Do I ever want to watch this again?
I don't nothing negative about the show, but it was good. I mean, quite predictable. I thought the best part of the show was the segment, which I don't think is great when a segment makes the best part of the show. I did enjoy both chambers matches. There has been better chamber matches, I'm not going to lie. I think it's a few questionable winners there on the show, but overall the match was bad. The actual pay-per-view wasn't half bad, but no, I think obviously aren't questions answered, but yeah, overall I didn't feel that buzzing about it without any tips.
Oliver?
I think I agree with what Nick said, really. Once the show's watched time-wise, there are enough hours in the day. It's worth watching for the Women's Elimination Chamber, the Men's Elimination Chamber, and Ronda Rousey's contract signing. Mm-hmm. And, that's you watch it again for those reasons. The show, from top to bottom, was of a good standard, and those are the things that, jump out at me to watch again.
That said, I thought it was all right. I've no desire to jump in and watch it again. So.
I think it was one of those shows where there was low expectations, and I think it's, I think
we're in WrestleMania season.
Pretty
shouldn't
decent show.
When the build is WrestleMania, we should all be excited about every show, and so should WWE. So.
Yeah. It's true.
This is the UK's youngest pro wrestler, Joe Nelson, and you are listening to the Broken But Glorious podcast.
So we'll finish with our predictions for Fastlane. So as of recording, these are the confirmed matches we're recording before SmackDown tonight. So WWE Championship is AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn versus Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler. Oliver, do you want to go first on this one?
What do you want from the Chris?
Your prediction for the match?
Our prediction, winner, AJ.
Yeah,
AJ as well.
Unless they want to do, put the title on Zayn just briefly, have some kind of mix-up, then Styles gets a rematch, his rematch, and then Owens screws Zayn over, then they go at each other at WrestleMania, just to give something in the works kind of thing. Just a roadblock, sorry, that's the word I was looking for. A roadblock between now and WrestleMania, because obviously everything's pointing towards Styles versus Nakamura. So, Zayn winning and a rematch and stuff would make for interesting viewing. But
AJ's
my heart, my head says AJ Styles, my heart wants it to be Zayn.
It's a women's championship match. It's Charlotte Flair versus Ruby Riott. Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte, mate.
It should be a good match. I really like Ruby Riott, but I can't see what she's done to deserve a title match, really.
I think Charlotte as well, and Ruby Riott was great on the indies, wasn't she? It just needs to transfer over to WWE TV.
Yeah, so we're all hoping that after the match, Oscar comes out and challenges Flair.
Yeah.
US titles, Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton.
I think Bobby Roode.
Do you think this possibly could turn into a triple threat? Because Jinder Mahal's been swimming around these two.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I think at WrestleMania there might be you might even get a ladder match for the US title at WrestleMania.
That could be cool.
Or we might actually know. Raw might have a lot of them. Yeah, I think one of the mid-card belts is going to have because obviously London has used some ladders at WrestleMania. I think one of them will be for the ladder. Maybe they could do Roode versus Ziggler,
they had a ladder match between Roode, Orton, Ziggler, Corbin, Rusev Day, Shelton Benjamin, throw them in, and Gable, just for people being in it. Ty Dillinger.
Give them ladders.
Well, just Shelton Benjamin's amazing in ladder matches. That's the only reason I want him in. But I'd love it. So we go all going for Roode on this one somehow. Just beat him. Pin him.
Has Orton ever won the US title?
I don't think so. Can't think of the top of my head. But... No, he's run. I know he's won the Intercontinental a couple of times, but I don't think he's won the US.
He's definitely won the IC title. because I remember him defending against Shelton Benjamin at the NEC in 2004. Probably Rude.
Yeah, and then the tag team titles is Usos versus the New Day.
New Day, baby! Nah, I think the Usos, I think they're going to go for Usos. I think it'll be Usos versus Harper and Rowan at WrestleMania.
Yeah, so that's it. Oliver, what about you?
Yeah, probably. I think the same. The Usos are the best tag team, aren't they? In the WWE. They've been amazing for the longest time, so they'll be going against the Bludgeon Brothers at WrestleMania, like Nick's just said.
Hmm. Yeah, so we've only got them four matches confirmed at the moment. No Nakamura currently on the show. Do you think he'll have a match?
No, I wouldn't be surprised. They maybe have like a some sort of talk show host. I don't know who actually hosts one on SmackDown. Because maybe we've also got Miz TV, but maybe bring Chris Beep Show back or something for it.
Didn't Dolph Ziggler have one? I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, Ziggler's. Oh, he might do actually, yeah. Well, I don't know if Zoo obviously Zoo's got a match. He might just have an open challenge.
I was thinking open challenge and then some of the crap like Kurt Hawkins answers it.
Just have a stare down with AJ after the match.
Just have him on commentary. That could be fun.
Or that.
We could.
You got any predictions for any other matches you think could be on it?
Maybe another women's match.
Yeah, I was thinking possibly the rest of the Riott squad. With Morgan and Sarah Logan against possibly Becky Lynch and Naomi.
Maybe. Yeah, pretty standard match that could get added maybe to the pre-show sign.
Yeah, and then possibly a number one contenders match for the tag titles.
This is quite a weak sort of pay-per-view, in all fairness, given that it's like the last show before, so it's making me, I don't think there's a real big surprise why they are making it all dual-branded pay-per-views again, to be fair. I can't really see anything major getting added to it, put it that way.
I was thinking some combination of Rusev Day, Gable and Benjamin, Bludgeon Brothers and some type of number one contenders match.
Brizango.
Oh, Brizango. They've just been getting battered every week. I think I'll get a number one contenders match. Since they moved the skits to the website, so they haven't done anything. So.
Well, that's another team that WWE's missed the boat on, isn't it?
Yeah, they should have. Yeah. Should have heard that. I loved them in the summer.
Yeah.
My favourite thing in WWE, but they haven't done anything.
And they got cheered when they beat the Usos, I think, last year, Battleground, maybe.
Mm.
So, they had a real strong following, and they just haven't capitalised on it, and it's just another, misused group. Tag team, sorry.
You got anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah. We've already discussed it, but the book signing on Saturday. Pro Wrestling Cartel, Oasis Market in Birmingham. And, Pro Brummy, so I'm really looking forward to getting to the store and meeting readers and fans and talking wrestling, Q&A, possible book reading, if the weather doesn't go against us, so yeah, roll on Saturday. And I'm also doing a YouTube show with Tom Baker talking wrestling in store as well, so be sure to look out for that and check that out when it's available on his YouTube channel.
Yeah, and also check out our trilogy of interviews with Dean Allmark starting this Friday.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Definitely check that out.
Yeah, I think that's it. I can't think of anything else.
Very good.
Alright, so thanks for everyone for listening. Don't forget to check out our interviews, as we said. I did one with Drill last week and former NWA referee Jeff Capo. Both really interesting guys.
Both fantastic, Chris.
Yeah. We enjoyed speaking about Star Trek with Jeff. That's my favourite bit of the interview. We're both huge Trekkie fans, so I was asking whether the new Star Trek Discovery is worth watching. He seems to think it is, so when I get Netflix, that'll be the first thing I watch.
Very good.
Alright, so if you enjoy our show, don't forget to check out our Twitter. It's at BBGWPod. And we'll see you for our review of Fastlane. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.